Thirdly, the third holy person, third Aryaputkala, is the Anagami, or non-returner. He breaks all the five lower fetters, as they're called, the three intellectual and the two emotional ones, and he doesn't come back to the human plane at all. He's reborn, according to Buddhist tradition, in a sphere called the Shuddhavasa, or pure abodes, at the peak of what we call the Rupa Dhatu, the world of pure form. And he attains nirvana, or enlightenment, from there. He finally breaks these fourth and fifth fetters, whereas the Sakradagamin only weakened them, and therefore completely breaks the first five out of the ten fetters. And this is sufficient to release him from the lower worlds, the human world. He's reborn, as I've said, in the pure abodes, and after death reaches nirvana from there. And giving you these ideas in the traditional terminology, they are capable of being translated into modern terminology and modern ideas, as perhaps we may see a little later on in this series of talks. Now, fourthly, the fourth noble person, the fourth Aryaputkala, is the Arahant. Arahant means simply the worthy or the worshipful, the one who has gained nirvana in this life, gained enlightenment in this life. He has, of course, broken the five lower fetters, but he also breaks the five higher fetters, which we shall just briefly enumerate. The sixth fetter out of the ten is Rupa Raga, desire for existence in the world of form. You might translate it by saying sort of the archetypal realm. Seventhly, the fetter of desire for existence in the formless worlds, Arupa Raga. Eighthly, the fetter of mana, or conceit. Not conceit in the ordinary sense that I'm very beautiful or very clever, and so on, but the conceit that I am I, that I am not the not I, the conceit that I am, as the Buddha said, either better than others or worse than others, or even the same as others, even equal to others. There's no shadow or trace of I concept here. So that mana, or conceit in this sense, is altogether broken by the Arahant. He doesn't even think that I gain nirvana. Ninthly, udaccha, or audaccha in Sanskrit, which means instability, as it were, trembling. This is something very subtle. It's as though the Arahant to be is poised, as it were, between the last reaches of the phenomenal world and nirvana. And he just, as it were, wavers, oscillates slightly, but he hasn't quite settled down in nirvana. And this is called trembling or wavering, or audaccha. And the tenth fetter, the most basic, the most impenetrable, the strongest of all, is avidya, ignorance, basic primordial ignorance or spiritual darkness. But the Arahant breaks this too. He dispels this darkness with the light of wisdom, and he becomes an Arahant by realizing nirvana, having broken all the ten fetters. So these are the four Aryaputkalas, the noble or holy persons who make up the Arya Sangha. Sangha in the sense of a spiritual community, a community of those who, independently of time and space, share the same spiritual experiences on these four different planes. Now, as I've said, the four are subdivided into eight according to what we call Magga and Pala, but I'm not going into that now. Now, the Arya Sangha is the Sangha, the spiritual community, in the primary sense. And when we say Sangang Saranangachami, it's primarily in the Sangha as an Arya Sangha, a spiritual community that we take refuge. The spiritual community does, or should, to some extent, coincide with the monastic order, the Bhikshu Sangha, and also with the Mahasangha, the Sangha or spiritual community in its widest sense. But primarily, Sangha is spiritual community in this sense, so a community, spiritually speaking, of noble or holy persons sharing certain spiritual experiences or transcendental experiences or attainments on these different levels.